just her sales absolutely skyrocketed. She was really able to capture a brand presence. She had a storefront. And we also saw that putting her on these marketplaces also increased like her SEO on her website and helped her traffic at her farmer's market booth. So it was an all around huge benefit for her. And she actually got picked up by Whole Foods, which was a cool kind of end of the story.
Wow. So welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Bauberg Marketing LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. I'm super excited today because it's a little different than usual. Rather than the boring one-on-one, whether it's boring or not, it's actually a ton of fun. I've got three leaders on the call today, ultimately three of the members of Valet Seller. What's up, guys? You want to one-by-one introduce yourselves so the listeners can hear your voice and the viewers can ultimately see you as well?
Yeah, course, for yeah. Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Maya Dunn, the president of Valet Seller.
I'm Kevin. I'm Maya's older brother. I'm the CEO of Valet Seller.
And I'm Andrew, and I'm the chief marketing officer at Valet Seller.
Love it. Love it. So I want to start with a bird's eye view. First off, let me just say what you guys do is incredible. It's revolutionary. I think that it's a growing industry. But tell us what you do. You know, give us a bird's eye view of what Valet Seller is.
Yeah. So Valet Seller is an e-commerce platform that helps SMBs sell their products online. In a very basic sense, a merchant will upload their product information into our platform. And then from there, we publish it out to different marketplaces like Amazon, Walmart, eBay, and so forth. And within our application, brands can sort of manage their advertising, their logistics, and we work with them to increase sales over time and on those different channels.
I love it. And like I said, it's something new. How are you helping? Like, how do you help Rochester entrepreneurs, business people, or, you know, even the nation at large?
Yeah, for sure. What we've found a huge way that we're helping is just actually enabling these SMBs to be able to compete on the e-commerce marketplaces. We've seen with COVID, it's so important to be selling online and to be available to your customers in an online manner. And there's a lot of complexities that come with that. So locally in Rochester, but even all over the world, we've been able to work one-on-one with brands and actually see them grow and successfully sell on these online channels like Amazon and Walmart. And so that's been really awesome to see and get to work one-on-one with a lot of brands.
Yeah, it's great to see small brands basically fighting against the big guys, right? And maybe let's put Jeff Bezos out of business, even though I don't hate him, but let's put him out of business, right? Ultimately, so we've got two siblings, we've got three people. Do you guys clash? I mean, it's kind of a two-part question, but ultimately, I'm curious about mission and vision and your why. And do you guys agree on everything? Do you agree on your why? Well, what is your why? What is your vision? And do you guys butt heads, you know?
Yeah. Good question. I mean, we tend to get along very well. We definitely disagree on specific, business decisions, but it's constructive criticism. So we all kind of work together to make, you know, the best decision. We're very aligned on our mission, which you just kind of hinted on, which is like, we want to level the playing field between a small emerging brand and these large scale retailers, you know, Amazon, Walmart. So we kind of give them that gateway into those channels without going through all the traditional steps. We're sort of offering an alternative way to get published there. And our motivation, it comes from this impact that we can see with our merchants. So, with certain business models, we sell some of our own products, some of our own brands, and those are cool businesses. We make some money on the side, but we don't have the same drive on those models because, you know, we're just selling a product, making a little profit. With this, we make a little profit on our commission, but we're able to like genuinely help, you know, these businesses, whether they're in Rochester or anywhere in the world. So that feels good. That kind of is what keeps us going. On our, you know, so our aha moment when we realized we had something kind of good was my older brother, Chris, was actually traveling in Vietnam, and he found this coffee product called Kopi Luwak. And he realized that there's a good opportunity to sell it in the US. And he knew I was selling online already on eBay, Amazon, and he asked for my help. So I was going to make him an Amazon account and eBay and try and set him up. But I ran into a lot of issues, and I just ended up deciding, you know, Chris, I'm just going to list these, your coffee in my Amazon store and all of my stores. And that was when, you know, we kind of realized, wow, that's way easier than having a new brand have to set up each channel, learn the ins and outs, you know, get the approvals, go through this process. So that was the moment when we were like, wow, we could do this for a lot of brands. And then we eventually built a product to support that.
Got it. So who exactly can you help then, just to kind of clear the picture on perfect client and the people mm-hmm. you can help? Because I know from my perspective, right, I'm a marketer. I'm good at marketing. I don't have a product to sell online, but if the opportunity is good enough, I'll figure out how to do it, right? And there's a lot of small businesses that they might be e-commerce, they might be ma and pa shops and not sell online at all. Can a one-man show get started? Does it need to be a large business with a huge inventory? Like, what does the clients look like overall?
Yeah, they definitely don't need to be a large-scale business at all. I mean, I say our perfect client would be an entrepreneur with an awesome idea. They give us a call. They say, hey, I'm looking to sell on Amazon or Walmart, but I don't really know where to start. Or I tried to sell on one of these marketplaces, but I didn't get approved. So they would come to us and we would list them on our storefronts. And at the end of the month, we'd send them a check with their earnings.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we also, like when you said ma and pa shops, it just reminds me of specifically in like the Rochester local area and also upstate New York, a lot of the farmers markets, those are like perfect clients that didn't even realize this whole channel they could be accessing to take their brand kind of like to that next level to expand online. It's been really awesome to see as well.
Can one of you guys walk me through maybe a case study? Just so we can kind of get a clear picture of what it would look like from a client that maybe didn't even know what they're doing at all, or maybe they had some proficiency but weren't reaching as many people as they would like. Any clients come to mind as kind of a case study of how that would all work?
Yeah, definitely. I'll use one example actually that came from a farmer's market in the Albany area. The company was called Small Town Cultures, so shout out to them, which was a fermented vegetable, like sauerkraut and different, actually a grocery product. She was selling in the farmer's market, and then she had like a website that was kind of outdated and they didn't use a ton. And we got her on Amazon, eBay, Walmart, and I think Kroger as well. You can correct me. And just her sales absolutely skyrocketed. She was really able to capture a brand presence. She had a storefront. And we also saw that putting her on these marketplaces also increased like her SEO on her website and helped her traffic at her farmer's market booth. So it was an all around huge benefit for her. And she actually got picked up by Whole Foods, which was a cool kind of end of the story.
Wow.
So kind of the full 360 that we were able to, yeah, really, really see all that. And that was a great relationship as well.
That's super awesome to hear. Just as like someone who's kind of like a SEO nerd marketing guy, like I didn't realize this like at one point, and a lot of people don't. But when you're aligned with great organizations and you have an online presence on the Better Business Bureau, you're with Valet Seller, you're on Amazon, you know, you have a Google presence, there's a lot of intangibles that it's hard to determine exactly how or why, but before you know it, your business just starts skyrocketing. And that sounds like an awesome example of that. I like to digress a little bit because it's a Rochester-based podcast. I like to talk a little bit about Western New York. And one person can take the lead. You can all share. It doesn't matter to me. But I always like to ask, you know, you're in Western New York. You guys are young. Well, let me first ask, how old are you guys? Because you're like super young entrepreneurs. I appreciate the hell out of that.
I am 20. Yeah, 20 years old.
Yeah, I'm 22 and I just graduated college on Sunday.
Oh, congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm 26, so it makes me feel old.
So young entrepreneurs, which means you guys still have fun, right? Like I ask all the time, a lot of people that have been on the show, they might even have grandchildren or they have children, they have busy lives, they're working double time. You guys are probably working double time with work and school and things like that. But I'm hoping y'all have a little bit of fun. You aren't just like working your 20s away completely, right? What do you do in Western New York on your free time? Like what are some of your favorite things about the region?
Yeah, Rochester. I'll go first, but I personally love the like outdoor scene in upstate New York. So like in the fall, the apple orchards, the winter skiing, and then a lake day or boat ride in the summer. Within the city, though, also when it's like a festival weekend, those are always the best for me. Pass it to Andrew.
Yeah, I'd probably second that. I spent my whole like high school, middle school years growing up just at Bristol every day. And that's kind of like how I got into entrepreneurship. I used to take little videos of my friends skiing and I would charge them like $50 to do that. So
nice. Yeah. And I would agree with you guys. I like the festivals, the Lilac Festival, the Park Ave Fest. And I also just like that Rochester has four distinct seasons. And, you know, I moved out to Las Vegas and it's a lot different. You actually start missing the rain and the snow and just having seasons. So I like growing up in Rochester for that reason.
Yeah, all four seasons, baby. But you're in Vegas, though?
Yeah. Now I'm in Puerto Rico, but I spent some time in Vegas and it just got, it's so dry and you start missing rain.
I love that though. It's nice to start building a business and a lifestyle that has the autonomy to be in Vegas, be in freaking anywhere, Puerto Rico, and ultimately still work with your teammates. I'm wondering, see, I'm jealous, right? So I'm 29. I don't think I'm old by any means, but I was a late bloomer, right? I just started my first official, I had a side hustle for like 6 years, but my first official company last year. And you guys started obviously well before me. And I'm wondering where that gene came from. Like, do you guys have mentors in your life? Like, where do you learn this from? You know, where do you get it from? You know, I wish I had gotten it 10 years ago like you did. Is any mentors in your life or anything like that?
Yeah. So Kevin mentioned he's my older brother. And then I've known Andrew since like high school, middle school. And our dad, Kevin and I's father, was very involved in entrepreneurship our whole lives. So seeing that definitely enabled it as more of an option for us. And I think Andrew has also shared that his parents and older siblings have kind of given him that feel for entrepreneurship as well. And then what in my life really sparked that as well was my college education at Colgate University, a program called Thought into Action, which my sister Sheila from Dunn Goodwin might have mentioned, that had a really great mentorship program. And so that kind of took the business, really took it to the next level of taking things more seriously, turning things from a hobby to a real business. And so that was probably the biggest kind of push for me.
Love that. I want to quickly connect two dots because I don't think we addressed it. Some people might know, some don't. Sheila Dunn and Maya Dunn, sisters. Sheila was ultimately a guest on the podcast probably like 10 episodes ago. I don't have the number memorized, but she's incredible. She knows more about social media than I do, and I'm a marketing guy, so I picked her brain, and that's an incredible higher level podcast if you want to get into social media marketing. So check that out. I can add it to the notes. But yeah, Sheila and Myla are sisters. You guys have a podcast as well. Let's shout that out on this show too.
Yeah, Clock Combos. Woo.
And I did interject. Does anyone have anything else to say about awesome genetics or mentorship or anything like that?
I kind of see both of the Duns as my mentors. I've been like a creative guy my whole life. My dad worked for Xerox, so I learned Photoshop when I was like 5 years old. So I was making videos. I was drawing cool pictures on my computer, and I was selling sneakers online. Met Maya in high school. She introduced me to her brother, and then they offered to work on their Discount Trends business with them, which was selling products on Amazon, eBay, Walmart. And then over time, we just evolved it into this. So I think our minds together, that synergy is just something really powerful. And I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Dude, it's like, it's crazy because I've never thought I was old. I'm 29. I'm not that old, but like y'all are young and crushing it. I'm wondering, because one thing I've realized, and I'm sorry if this pisses anybody off, once you get to a certain age, there's like two kinds of people. There's the lifelong learner that they might be reading 20 pages a day. They're always taking new trainings. They're educating. They're mentoring. And then there's the people that kind of get stubborn and complacent and complain about the person that's actually doing all the work. And realistically, I think most listeners are the former. They're lifelong learners. They're kick-ass. But I'm wondering, because we've got a lot to learn from you guys as young adults, you know, crushing it in business, how do you stay chipper? Like, how do you sharpen the saw? How do you stay active and continue to learn in your roles?
I can start off with just saying I definitely have a ton to learn and continuing to improve on that. But I think I was super fortunate to be born very curious and just always kind of intrigued in learning new things. So I think naturally I am pretty drawn to, you know, reading that new article or just kind of forcing myself into challenging situations. So I think that kind of the grunt of it. I also am a pretty OCD, like organized person. And so for me, that's been also a huge player in staying on top of things, being able to balance work, school, social, and all of that.
I like the organization. I'll be honest, for anybody listening, like we kind of chatted beforehand and there's four of us, and part of me's like, oh my gosh, what's going to go on? And Maya's like, we're going to organize this. The entire team's like, we talked about questions, and the organization makes things run so much smoother, right? You mentioned challenges, like liking challenges. Are there any disaster challenges or positive challenges that you guys have encountered with Valet Cellar?
Yeah, I mean, something that I've encountered, we've all, Maya, Andrew, and I have encountered, I think, is it's difficult in our, one of the difficult things in our position is like hiring and firing people as we kind of scale up or have to scale down. And so that's been a challenge, just deciding the right time to do that. And then on, you know, what I've been trying to do to learn more about that process and, you know, the best way to organize and motivate teams. I've just been, you know, I use YouTube religiously. I'm watching like speakers on there trying to, you know, learn from people that are doing this stuff, leaders in different industries. And so, yeah, I try to learn from that as much as I can and then sort of bring back what I can and like instill confidence in our team and just kind of help motivate everybody to keep us pushing forward.
It's good stuff. YouTube University. I feel like one of two things can happen online. You either get sucked into memes and sometimes fake news and bias information and stuff that makes you smile or angry but doesn't actually get anything done, or you can utilize YouTube University to learn just about anything. It's amazing. what, how long has Valley Cellar been a thing for?
So as Andrew mentioned, so we had a business called Discount Trends where we were selling our own, we were importing products from India and China and just flipping them on our channels. That started in 2016. But Valet Cellar, our software product, it's only been out, it's been out since January of 2020. So that business is newer, and that side of our business is newer, 2020.
Interesting. So 2020, right before COVID, it's unfortunate. So I'm in marketing and COVID actually was beneficial in some ways for my business, but it's torn apart other businesses. I'm wondering, has this disaster scenario, this challenge, has it lended well? Has there been struggles? I mean, I hope it's been well, but what are some of the major struggles you've had in the past few months? Or by now it's been a year and a half since COVID started or something like that. I can't even do the math anymore, but any challenges that you've ran into?
Well, our business had, it helped our business in certain ways because more and more retailers were trying to sell online. People were, looking for new channels to get into. So we saw growth on that side. Some struggles. We had an issue with shipping and basically like logistics, where Amazon and Walmart fulfillment centers stopped taking inbound shipments and had to focus on PPE, that stuff, which is fine. But that kind of slowed down a few different sectors of our business. But overall, we can't complain too much how our business benefited from the whole thing. Obviously, COVID's terrible and has caused a lot of havoc. But e-commerce, all the e-commerce businesses, for the most part, have probably seen some sort of growth.
I definitely imagine that with COVID, some slowdowns with certain kind of shipping. Has the industry changed? I mean, I presume, so I know what e-commerce is. That's about it. I don't know much about the ins and outs. Anything new and exciting that you've been researching in e-commerce? Any changes since COVID? Any insider news that or tips that we should know about?
Yeah, I'd say that what caught us by surprise the most, I think it was in March. Kevin, Maya, and I were in Puerto Rico, and we got a ton of orders for a client that was selling face masks, and they were all from overseas. And we were like, are we being hacked right now? So we ended up canceling all of the orders. And then we turned on the news, and of course, we see everything that's going on. So I think that was really the start of where we saw like such a shift in consumer spending from, going to the grocery store or whatever to just doing it online through Amazon. And then throughout the whole pandemic over the last year, we've noticed certain trends like at-home workouts, grocery products, and beauty products are trending more than ever. And a lot of the merchants that are signing up through our platform are selling products like that. And besides that, I think there's an emergence in multi-channel retail. So marketplaces like Walmart, who were way behind Amazon beforehand, are catching up. I mean, sure, Amazon's still the top dog, but marketplaces like Walmart, Wish, and even like Kroger.com are starting to become big players in making that shift towards selling products online, getting away from their traditional grocery in-store model.
It's incredible. Wow. So in a moment, I want to go rapid fire. Let's ask a couple other questions. I got a great answer to this on the last podcast. I'm all about optimization, and I'm looking at how can I get the most out of the least, really. I mean, that's optimization, right? So I'm wondering, as young adults that know tech, that know e-commerce, that are entrepreneurs, purchase of $100 or less, maybe a subscription, maybe a office tool, maybe a book. I don't know. Like what purchase that's cheap can I make today that's going to optimize my business or ultimately optimize yours?
Yeah. So in the e-commerce space, at least, I bought a $100, it was like $80, a label printer back when I was still in college so that I could kind of speed up. I was, you know, printing the paper, the labels, cutting them out and taping them to each package. And so I bought this label printer. But what I really, the point of this is that taught me that, like, investing, sometimes investing in a, you know, in a product like that can ultimately teach you a lesson about, like, the importance of efficiency and automating certain things out and sort of the change in mindset of, no, I can just do this. It doesn't cost me anything. You know, I don't have to buy the labels. But that shift sort of helped me with things as I went forward, realizing that sometimes it's worth making those investments to gain efficiency or to just, you know, automate more things. So that was actually a good purchase for me, and it's had a positive impact on my career.
It's a big one. This is the section where I always say, if you're not taking notes, click rewind and write that down so you can optimize your lives as well. Just a development, optimization, leadership, that whole shabam. I want to move rapid fire in a second, but what's interesting is we usually do rapid fire. It's like Family Feud. It's like quick, short, either or, fill in the blank answers. But what's cool is there's three of you guys, so we could almost even do a vote on some of these. But the first couple things that come to mind aren't rapid fire per se. Books. If you could choose one, I'll give you up to three. One to three books that should be in my cart today. What should I read?
I have one that I just recently read, was actually recommended to me, and is maybe like the cliche recommendation, Rich Dad Poor Dad. But it's Kiyosaki. Great way to, and it was very inspiring to me as well, just kind of to be more aware and be really more aware. And then the other one is not business related at all. It's called Born to Run. But I just thought it was a very interesting book in terms of like diverse thought and thinking about problems in a more unique way that you don't get from your everyday standard kind of business advice book. So I would recommend that one as well if you like a little more, like it had a little more adventure to it.
Yeah. Business is supposed to be an adventure, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Go ahead.
So I recently read a book called E-Myth, Michael Gerber, and it's a short, easy read, and it's a business book, and it's good. It basically I would highly recommend it to anyone who's starting a new business, because it kind of gives you an overall approach to how you should structure your business, or how you should think about a business. Kind of like the main e-myth is that, you know, the barber opens a barber shop, the technician opens a mechanic shop. So you don't necessarily, just because you have the skills to do a job running the business that facilitates that job, they're not the same thing. So make sure you go into a business that, you know, when you do go into business, that you're, you know, understanding how it's going to function, the different people you'll need. And it's just helped me a lot with kind of structuring Valet Seller and how I look at the business from the outside in.
E-Myth. Yeah, I've got to read that one.
Yeah. And for me, a book I was recommended recently, it's kind of cliche. It's called The Art of Not Giving an F Word. It just kind of changed my outlook on life. I read that about couple months ago, and I read it, and it just kind of taught me to take things slowly. And I mean, I just graduated college and I was running a business at the same time. And I think that really helped me just kind of slow down, take my time, and really stay organized and calm at the same time.
Yeah, that's a good book. I've only read it once, so it was forever ago. Mm-hmm. But I like that one because, of course, The Art of Giving a F, it grabs your attention right off the bat. But it's not just like, hey, let's not give a F about anything. Right. It's allocating my F's. Like, what is actually important to me? Some dude like being crappy on social media means nothing to me. Let's actually figure out where we actually give an F. I sometimes swear on the show. That is the F word a swear word anymore? I feel like it's just a common word.
I mean, I didn't know. I was worried about saying it. But if you say it's not and it's low, then I'm not going to be the first one to say it.
I swear all the time. It's like I don't swear all the time. I'm one or the other. I'll either like start dropping like F bombs or I'm like super like polite. It's never like an in between, you know?
Right.
But okay, so this is a fun thought experiment because I've asked it before, but we have like a large posse here, right? So I'm imagining, let me think. So there's four of us. So let's say 12 people maximum. And we can all take face masks off. We can all dine at the same place. We're going to go to a bar or dinner or something like that and just chill. So we got up to 12 people at the table. There's already four of us here. So we can invite up to 8 guests, live or dead. Who should we have on that table? Like, I'm just there just to freaking listen. You guys can choose. Who else should we invite to that, like, dinner party?
Oh, man. All right, I'll start with two that I can think of. One for sure for me would be Sarah Blakely. Just absolutely love her. And my second would be J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter, because I just also love the book. I'll think of my third one while the boys answer.
Yeah, I'll give you two as well, because I know one of them right off the bat is Gordon Ramsay, because he would be cooking for us. So. I think the guy's like really underestimated when it comes to business. I mean, cooking and business goes like hand in hand. And I watched an interview with him the other day, and they got it figured out, man. And then the other one on the top of my head is Tupac Shakur.
Nice.
I would say mine are sort of basic, but I'd love to meet Jeff Bezos, talk to him, maybe form a partnership of some sort. And then another one that's sort of basic, but Elon Musk, maybe he'll give me some insider information or, just
crypto tips.
Provide some crypto tips. So those two, that would be pretty legendary sitting down with them.
I don't know. I couldn't think of a third, but
I'm going to invite somebody. I'm curious what you guys think. I kind of want to have Gandhi at the table. And part of why I want Gandhi at the table is I'm super driven. I work really hard. I want to accomplish all these things. And I kind of want to ask Gandhi if it's worth it or not. I want to get his opinion. I don't know what you guys are young and driven. Like sometimes, you know, I feel like it's good to step back and do what makes you happy and do what helps others. And I feel like Gandhi would be a good way to level out all these like type A high achiever people just to be like, we got to chill too. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I think Gandhi is a guy who thinks that like, if you want something, then go and get it. I read a quote the other day and it was, a man is a product of his thoughts and what he thinks he becomes. And if you say you're that motivated individual, then so be it. It's worth it. If you think so, then go ahead and do it.
Love that. You guys are ready. We're going to go actual rapid fire. It's like Family Feud style, but we can kind of even take votes because there's three of you guys. We can see what wins. But ultimately, just to get to know y'all a little bit better. And we'll start with coffee or tea.
Coffee.
So coffee wins. What about the fill in the blanks water, but beer or wine?
Beer.
I'll take a beer, yeah.
I'd say wine.
Oh, beer wins, but wine's good too. I like, when I ask these questions, I like all of them. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Dogs.
I'm a cat guy.
Cats?
Yeah.
Are any of you guys morning people or are you night owls?
Morning. Well, both.
it depends on what my schedule.
Depends on the day.
What about guilty pleasures, like favorite ice cream flavors or candy or any of that kind of stuff?
mint chocolate chip.
Yeah, mint chocolate chip's my favorite.
That is a good one.
Oh, three for mint chocolate chip.
That's rare.
Any Android users in the house, iOS or Android?
Ooh,
big iOS. Android guy.
You'll make the switch soon.
What's funny, so I ask that question a lot, and I kind of ask it slightly condescendingly, not entirely, but I have an Android. I've never had an iOS, and I'm a little butthurt because every iOS user I've ever met is like, yeah, iOS, like, just like, so like, Android, like, whatever. But the Android users I meet, they're just like, yeah, Android, don't really think about it all that much. I'm digressing, but do you guys have any thoughts on iOS and Apple as a brand? It seems like they've built a culture that, like, dude, people are like huge cheerleaders for iOS. I mean, any just general thoughts? I don't know.
I'm an Android user. I don't, you know, I try iPhone and I don't like it, but they do have, yeah, that following because, I mean, they're good for, like, they just recently did some tweaking to the data privacy with, like, our Facebook pixel, I know, and it sucks for us. We can't target certain people that make purchases and this, but it's good. I like what they do for their customers, you know, providing that extra layer of security. I feel that there is a strong trust with their brand. Whereas my Android, you know, I'm not worried about it getting hacked or something, but it's not, I don't have that same level of trust where I think Apple users might have.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why I even cheered at that. I think I just jump on the train of like making fun of the couple of people in my family that have Androids as kind of a joke, but I actually really despise Mac computers. So I'm a PC computer, but I, you know, just have always had an iPhone.
It's funny. I have an Android, right? But I've got a Mac in front of me. I've had a Mac since 08, and I've actually had a lot of issues with Mac, but it's almost like a slightly unstable relationship that you're happy with. It's like I have so many issues with my Mac, but as soon as it breaks down, I just buy a new one. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. ultimately we can chat. I want to dive deeper with you guys in general. We can chat more later on. Maybe eventually it would be cool to do solos as well, so we can dive real deep into each individual. But I'm wondering, since we're in a group and I can't dive as deep, I'm sure I missed a lot of things. Is there anything that me or potentially the listener, should have asked that, maybe the listener, blah. The listener is probably thinking, Ben, you should have asked this. And I'm thinking, I should have asked it. I'm going to be listening to this and I missed it. What did we miss? Like, is there anything you want to bring to the table we didn't touch on?
Yeah, this question is a great one. We actually sometimes ask it in our podcast episodes as well. And it always catches people off guard a little bit. They're like, kind of like stumps them.
Yeah.
But we were lucky enough to have the question. So I was thinking that the only thing that really came to my head was just more specific e-commerce questions. The three of us feels like for our whole lives have been super in the weeds with everything e-commerce. So kind of also just an invitation to anyone listening that if they are working in e-commerce or have a brand or a product that they want to start, to 100% reach out and we can answer specific questions, like you said, maybe in a future podcast episode as well.
Yeah, that's good to bring up, because one thing I like to note is I come in with a beginner's mindset. I ask what's on my mind, but the listener might be at a higher level than me or have different questions. So they should reach out to you guys personally with their specific questions. Maybe they're a young entrepreneur, they're trying to build an e-commerce store, maybe they want to build a side gig, get some more passive income, and maybe leave the corporate world. Maybe ultimately they're already kicking ass, but they can take another step up, right? How do they get in touch with you guys and just ask some educated questions, follow you on social media, any of that stuff? What's the best way to reach out?
So our social media platforms are all at Valet Seller. And then you can also email any of our first names at valetseller.com to contact us directly. So Maya at Valet Seller, Andrew at Valet Seller, and Kevin at valetseller.com.
Perfect. I'll make sure I link in the notes. You can go to the notes one click away. If you can't make that click to ask that question, the question must not be that important. So go and ultimately click, ask questions, collaborate with these guys. I want to give you an opportunity to close out with just as young entrepreneurs, business people, growing but still learning along the way. Do you have anything that you've learned that really sticks out, or any like final tips for our audience today?
Oh, you're on mute, Kevin.
So this is sort of a common piece of advice that people give, but I really believe it's important. It's just to keep trying things, even because most things won't work, especially in business. Like most of your ideas or business models that you try to execute, they won't work. So you have to keep trying if you want to find something successful. At least with Valet Seller, we're constantly testing new products, new funnels, new revenue streams, and a lot don't work, but then once in a while we find something that's profitable, and then we kind of double down on that. So it is really important, I think, to just keep pushing, keep trying things, and you'll find something that takes off.
I love it. Maya, Andrew, Kevin, the team at Valet Seller, maybe I'm going to have to start a side hustle. I know I'm going to reach out and ask a couple questions so I can figure out how to get that done. But ultimately, show notes to reach out to these guys. And thanks again, totally for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.